But today, we're in for a treat. We're going to learn Adon Olam in your prayer books here on page 12. And this is really the opening of the prayer after we say the first three verses, which we learned the other time. Matoivu Alecha, and Vani Berev Chazdecha, Vani Sfilasi. And each of these three verses, first one talks about the praise of the Jewish people. The second verse talks about the praise of a synagogue. And the third verse talks about the power of prayer. And now begins the prayer. And this song, Adon Olam, many say it was written by Rabbi Shlomo Evin Gabirel. This was in the 11th century. Others point out, however, that this prayer is mentioned earlier. Rav Shrira Goyen and the son of Hai Goyen, they were in the 10th century, and of Hai in the 10th and the 11th century. And they highly praise this song of Adon Olam. Everyone is familiar with the tune, Adon Olam Asher Malach. This is a very powerful prayer, and whoever says this prayer is guaranteed that their davening will be accepted at a very high level. So what's so special about this prayer, and why is this the opening prayer? So it's interesting, the very first word that we use is Adon, Adon Olam, Master of the Universe, Lord of the Universe. He doesn't start with Hashem's name. He starts with Adon Olam, calling Hashem Adon, the Master. It's interesting. It's also the opening word when we start the Shemoneh Esrei. Every Shemoneh Esrei we start with Adnai, Sfasai Tiftach, which is referring to Hashem as the Master of the world. Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the world. Ribbono Olam, Master of the world. As in the opening in Pasach Eliyahu, Eliyahu opened this prayer, Pasach Eliyahu, Vamer, Ribbono Olam, you are the Master of the world. The Talmud says that the first to call Hashem Master was Avram. No one called Hashem Master until Avram Avinu came along. Even though it was 2,000 years after creation, he had many great righteous people, Adam and Noach and Shem, and Meshuselach, and Chanoich, he had so many giants. And yet no one called Hashem Master until Avram Avinu. It says in Genesis, he says, Vayemer Adnai Elokim, he called Hashem Adnai, my Master. Bamo'eda ki irashen. And Daniel, we find, also used this expression, and his prayer was answered in the merit. What he meant to say is, he says, Va'atosh, we say this every Monday and Thursday in the davening before we take out the Torah. So the rabbis say, the Talmud says, in the merit, his prayer was answered in the merit of Avram, who called Hashem Adnai. Every time we say Hashem's name, we don't pronounce Hashem's name, the four-letter name, Yudke Vavke. We're not allowed to pronounce it. We never pronounce it as written. How do we pronounce it? Adnai. And the halacha says in the code of Jewish law that when you say, every time you say Hashem's name, you have to have in mind what it means. So every time you say Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, in addition to having in mind what Yudke Vavke means, which means Haya, Hoveh, V'yeh, Ke'echad, Hashem was past, present, and future, all in one, together, simultaneously, since we pronounce it as Adnai, every time you say Hashem's name, you have to have in mind the meaning of Adnai, which means Hashem is the Master of the world. Avram was the first one to call Hashem Adnai. What's the meaning of that? What's the significance of that? Why is that so special? Avram called Hashem Adnai. This is the opening of the davening, and this is the opening of the Shemoneh Esrei. And every time we say Hashem's name, we think Adnai, Hashem is the Master of the universe. And Eliyahu opens up, Ribbono Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, the Master of the world. Because this captures the whole revolution, the whole essence of Judaism. Avram didn't introduce into the world monotheism. Adam was a monotheist. Avram was the first Jew. Avram introduced the concept of a personal God. Adnai Hashem is my master. He's the master and I'm his servant. I have a personal relationship with God. And God has a personal relationship with me. That's the revolution of Avram. That's the foundation of Judaism. It's personal. And that's the whole foundation of davening. The whole purpose of davening, I'm davening, is it's a deeply personal connection to me and Hashem. I'm talking to Hashem. Hashem personally cares about me, is personally involved in my life, in my personal life. Every detail, every aspect of my life Hashem cares, is present, is involved, is engaged. And I'm praying and I'm davening to Hashem, person to person. So it all begins with Adonai Olam. And as he points out, first he starts out with the loftiness of Hashem, how lofty Hashem is, how great Hashem is. The Yaakov Emden and the Shalach HaKadosh point out that Adonai Olam is the numerical value of Ein Sof. The same letter, the same numerical value, 207. Hashem is infinite. It's so lofty. It's so beyond. It's so transcendent. And this lofty, infinite Hashem, who is infinite and undefined and so transcendent, this is the Hashem that I'm davening to. This is the Hashem that I trust my life with. This is the Hashem who I turn to. This is the Hashem that I have a personal relationship with. I am His servant. And I'm davening to Hashem and asking Hashem to be allowed to have that privilege to be His personal servant, to have that personal connection. So now we can understand why this is the opening prayer. It's so essential. It really captures the heart of Judaism, the heart of prayer, and the heart of my relationship with Hashem. And all other religions claim God is too distant. God is too remote. He's not really involved in the minutiae, in the details, the messy details of my life and my personal life, the petty, insignificant, seemingly in the greater scheme of things, insignificant details of my life. And other religions believe God is, you know, He's there, He's out there, He's too big to worry and care about this nonsense. Once in a while, God shows that He can perform a miracle here and there to show that He's here and He's really above the fray. Jewish faith is that this infinite God, not only He has the potential, the ability, but He's actually divine providence. He guides us, He's with us. He's every step of the way, He's engaged, involved. Because Hashem is so infinite, that's why He's so close to me. Not only isn't the two a contradiction, on the contrary, Hashem is so transcendent that He's literally right in front of me. And He's with me. That seems to be the soul, the essence of what Adonai Olam is. And we'll get to it a little deeper the way Chassidus explains. Adonai Olam, Lord of the universe. Asher Malach, who reigned. He was king. B'terem kol yitzur nivra, before anything was created. Before anything was even created, He was already king. He already reigned. How is it possible? Okay, he continues. Leis nafsa v'chefze kol, when He made everything with His desire. Azai melech shmoy nikra, then He's called king in the present. There's somebody to call Him king. Before, there was no one to call Him king. He was alone. He was king. And He reigned. But there was no one to call Him king. Then, when He created everything, and it says Vayomer, every time it says in the book of Genesis in the beginning, God said, that means Hashem desired. He desired and it came into being. Then, now He's a king in the present. He's king over us and we call Him king. And after everything will be done, Levada Yimlech Neira, he will be alone, an awesome king. He will reign alone. So, on a simple level, Hashem's kingdom, it's not like a human being. A human being is only king because we make him king. People decide to coronate someone as king, he becomes king. Hashem, the kingdom, comes first. Because Hashem desired to be king, that's why He created the world. He created subjects. By human beings, first you have the subjects, and then you create the king. The king comes later. By Hashem, first comes the fact that He wants to be king. And because He wants to be king, therefore He creates subjects, He creates a world. So it's the kingdom, the attribute of kingdom that comes first. So Hashem, His kingdom comes from within Himself. Hashem doesn't receive His kingdom from outside of Him. The kingdom comes from within Himself. Hashem is king. On Himself, He's king. By Himself, He's king. But before He created, there was no one to call Him king. After everything will cease to exist, there will be no one to call Him king. Now, during creation, now we call Him king. Others explain, on a simple level, that what he means is that Hashem is king. His holiness comes from within Himself, so He's king. But the reason why he starts out, Adonai Olam, why don't you say, Melech, start out with king. you're talking about Hashem's kingship, Hashem's sovereignty. So why don't you start out, Melech, Asher Molach? Why do you say Adoin? Because presently, God's kingdom is incomplete. Now that the temple is destroyed, so Hashem's throne is incomplete, his name is incomplete. So you can't call him king. He's not king. He's not sitting on his throne. He's not whole. So now he's Adoin. He's the master. He controls the world, but he's not the king. King means that the people willingly accept him as their king. Today we have rebellion. They have Amalek. So he says, "Le'es nasa v'cheftzikol." When his desire was established, it was Avram Avinu and the Jewish people, the giving of the Torah, and then he finally had his palace, the Mishkan and the temple, the tabernacle and then the temple. And then he became king. Then he's called king. Then he's a king, he's a full-fledged king. But today, he's only Adon Olam, he's not a king. He's not sitting on his throne. His name is incomplete and his throne is incomplete. At the end of everything, what did he mean at the end of everything? Kichlois HaKol means when the wicked and wickedness, and the wicked people and wickedness, Namalek will be destroyed, and wickedness and wicked people and wickedness will be come to an end. Who will remain? All the righteous will remain. All that will remain is righteousness. And then he's going to be king again. He will be whole again. Levadim lechnet. Soon we'll get to it on a deeper level, how we understand all of this. Then he says, V'hoya, he was, V'hoive, he is, V'yiyye, and he will be, B'sifara, and all his glory. Hashem was king, is king, and will be king. When could you say that there is a past, and there's a present, and there's a future? Only when you have the attribute of kingdom. When you have the attribute of sovereignty, of kingdom, then that creates the concept of time. Because you could only be a king over someone separate from you, apart from you. So when there's separation, a sense of separation, only then do we have a concept of time. If there's no ego, if there's no sense of self, there's no separation, then there is no time. There's no sense of time. When you're lost in a trance, when you're absorbed in something, and you completely become unself-conscious, and you have no sense of I and no sense of self, you lose all sense of time. Hours can go by, and then you like wake up from a trance, and you look at your clock, and hours went by and you're completely unaware. You lost all sense of time. If there's no ego, there's no sense of I, there's no sense of separation, then that moment becomes like an eternal moment. There's no sense of time. And the more prominent the ego, the more prominent the I, the more prominent the separation, time slows down. So the whole concept of time, past, present, and future, only is a result of the attribute of kingdom, of sovereignty, which creates a subjects which are separate from their source, separate from Hashem, feel, experience themselves as being apart, separate, independent of Hashem. And therefore, now there's a past and there's a present and a future. But Hashem is past, present, and future all together in beauty, because they all come together. The name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the four-letter name, represents Haya, Hoveh, V'yiyah Ke'echad, all in one word. Hashem is past, present, and future together. Because Hashem was king, Hashem is king, and will be king. Really, the essence of Hashem, there is no past, present, and future. To say that eternity, it means there's time, but the time is eternal. Hashem is beyond time. But even the attribute of the divine attribute of kingdom, of sovereignty, to Hashem, past, present, and future is all one. Hashem was king, is king, and will be king. V'echad v'ein sheni. He's alone, and there's no one second to him. He's not like one and there is a second. When there's one, that means there's two. There is no two, only one. L'ham shiloi. There's no one to compare to him. U'l'harbira, or to be friendly with him, to be together with him. You can't compare. Hashem's holiness comes from within himself. Hashem's sovereignty comes from within himself. See, even Hashem gives us of his holiness, but it's something that we get from Hashem. So Hashem's holiness is inherent, is essential, and therefore he's alone, he's one, there's no second. and there's no other to compare to him, and there's no one to consort with him. B'li reishis, b'li sachlis. Without beginning and without end. Hashem has no beginning, and therefore he has no end. So he's everywhere. As it says in the verse, you think you can sin in privacy and I won't know. There's nowhere, no space empty of Hashem. Hashem is no beginning and no end. He's everywhere. So Hashem is present and he's everywhere and he sees everything. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. And b'li tachlis, there's no end. So Hashem is in no rush. You can't escape from Hashem. Everything that we do, everything matters. And everything has to be accounted for. And if not today, Hashem could take care of it tomorrow. If not in our lifetime, it can be after our lifetime, in the next life. There's nowhere to run. Hashem is no end. So there's no rush. A physical king, a human king, has to rush because he's not everywhere. Firstly, you can get away with it. And he has to take care of it right away because he has an end. It comes to an end. Hashem, there's no beginning, there's no end. So Hashem is everywhere. Hashem knows everything. And there's no end. He can be patient, he can take his time. But there's no escaping. We don't get away with anything. Everything has to be spoken for, everything has to be accounted for. V'loy ha'oiz v'hamishra. And he has the power and he has the might. And therefore he's not afraid to let us know. A king is afraid to warn his enemies because he's afraid they're gonna cleverly be able to avoid Hashem. There's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide. He can speak openly and tell us exactly. These are the consequences, this is what happens. He has the power, he has the might. So then you may wonder, maybe now that we're in exile, where's Hashem's might? We don't see Hashem's might. We don't see Hashem's strength. If Hashem is so mighty and Hashem is so powerful and Hashem is so strong, why are we in exile? Why is Hashem in exile? Why is the temple destroyed? Why are the Jewish people suffering? Why is goodness and righteousness under siege? Why is truth so under siege? Why is evil so triumphant? Why does it seem they get away with murder? What happens to Hashem's strength? Is it possible that Hashem is no longer my God? We lost that personal relationship, that personal connection. So he says, no, v'hu keli. Hashem is my God. He's my personal God. Today, here, now. Just like we find Hashem's name, Michael, the angels are called Michael, it ends with Hashem's name. Gabriel, the Jewish people are also Yisrael, Kael, the last two letters are Kael. So we are Yisrael, Hashem is with us, he's Kaeli, he's my personal God. V'chai goyeli, he's my ever-living Redeemer. He will redeem me. How do I know this? How do I know that Hashem today is my God? And therefore I'm confident that he will redeem me? Because v'tzur chevli be'es sarah, he is the strength of my lot in a time of pain. Without Hashem's help, how could the Jewish people survive all these saras? That's the greatest intervention. That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest proof that Hashem is with us. That is the greatest proof that we are his chosen people. That he is with us and we have that personal relationship with him. And some say chevli comes from the word chevli leida, the birthing pangs, which are unbearable pain. So the fact Hashem is a rock, the strength like a rock, in the times of chevli, in the times of my unbearable pain, be'ez sarah, in the time of distress, that proves that Hashem is keli. We have that personal relationship. Hashem is my personal God. And v'chai goyeli, he's my Redeemer, ever-living Redeemer. And therefore, v'hu nisi, Hashem is like my flag. Nisi could mean a few things. One of three things. Either nisi, nes, means a flag in Hebrew. And why is a flag called nes? Because when you're in battle, you raise the flag on top of the mountain and all the soldiers know where to run to. They run towards the flag. Nes comes from where to run. You run towards the flag. So Hashem is my flag. I know where to run to. V'nisi emunisli. Hashem is my flag emunisli, and that's my place where I run to. Nes can mean Hashem lifts me up, to lift up. Hashem tests the person to lift them up. Or nes could mean miracles. Hashem Nisi, Hashem performs miracles for me. You have two types of miracles. You have a type of miracle with a miracle, obvious miracles, open miracles that break nature. The splitting of the sea, the miracles of the plagues, those open miracles. That's Nes. Then you have a miracle, like the miracle of Purim, it encloses itself in nature. Doesn't break nature. Everything appears to be natural, but when you put it all together, you realize it was the greatest miracle. And sometimes it could be in the garment in a natural way, so much so you don't even recognize the miracle. You don't even realize that a miracle just happened. It's so subtle and so enclosed in the garments of nature. But it has the same effect. It elevates the nature. So Hashem is my miracle. Minas kaisi, my portion, my cup, my lot. B'yoyim ekra, on the day that I call. B'yodei in his hands, afkid ruchi, in his hands, I entrust my spirit. Ve'eis hisha, when I go to sleep, I have total trust in Hashem. I give him my spirit, and I trust v'ya'ira that I'm going to wake up, that he's going to return to me my soul. Even though I'm so guilty and I owe him so much, and yet I fully trust Hashem. I deliver my spirit to him at night when I go to sleep, and I fully trust Hashem that I will wake up. He says spirit, ruchi. There's nefesh, there's ruach and neshama. The nefesh remains in the body even when you're asleep. That's the physical function, the biological physical function of the body. Ruach is like the consciousness. Neshama is even loftier. Neshama, even when we're awake, our neshama is like a little distant from us. Neshama is of a high level, a consciousness of godliness, of a deep understanding of godliness. So ruchi represents the human consciousness. So when I go to sleep, I hand over my ruach to Hashem. My neshama I never had even when I was awake. It's distant from me. And my nefesh I have even when I'm asleep. But the ruach, the consciousness, that leaves me when I go to sleep. And I hand it over to Hashem. I entrust my ruach to Hashem. And I entrust that He will wake me up. I will wake up. V'im ruchi gviyasi. And I also entrust my soul and my body to Hashem. Total trust. When I wake up, I entrust every part of me, my soul, my body, to Hashem. Hashem li. Hashem is mine, is with me. V'lo yira, and therefore I shall not feel. So we talk of Hashem's being king, Hashem's being. Then we talk of Hashem's power and ability. And then we talk of Hashem's providence, how Hashem guides us and His divine providence, and He's with us. In my problems, in my distress, He's with me, and He's there for me. He's my portion. I trust Him, and I have so much trust that I have no fear. And this is all I pray for. This is all I ask for. This is the greatest gift that Hashem can give me. The greatest gift that Hashem can give me. Hashem answers our prayers. What's the greatest gift Hashem can give me? The closeness to Hashem. The fact that I can be close to Hashem. That I can have this personal relationship with Hashem. That Hashem is involved in my personal life. And that I have this personal relationship with Hashem. And I can feel and be close to Hashem. That is the greatest gift. That is the answer to my prayers. And this prepares me to pray. Because it's you woke up in the morning, and now you feel refreshed. Not just you woke up physically. This wakes you up spiritually. You feel, it gives you a joie de vivre. It gives you an optimistic look on life. It gives you a joy. You're ready to take on the day with joy because Hashem is with me. This lofty, infinite Hashem is my personal master. And He's involved with me. And He's my refuge. And I trust Him. In God we trust. Like a trust fund. I put everything in His hands. My body, my soul, everything. I totally trust Him. And I feel confident and that everything will be okay. I have nothing to be afraid of. So this puts you in a joyful mood. Now you can start praying. Now you're ready to pray. Because you feel awakened, refreshed, and joyful. So this sets the tone for the whole prayer.